for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, our Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday afternoon, December the 24th, 1990. Holiday week, teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This tape is a deliverance service, and Glenn Miller is the speaker. Should this tape for any reason be defective, please explain and return for a replacement. Linda taught us this morning about the seven applications to our life of the crucifixion, the seven phases of the crucifixion, and along with that, she brought in the subject of holiness two or three times. And I thought for a little bit she was going to use all my scriptures, but then she got off of it and got on to back to her subject again. But I'm going to take that subject up this afternoon in a form, and we'll start with Zechariah chapter 14. In Zechariah chapter 14, verse 20 says, "In that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses, holiness unto the Lord. And the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, and every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts." Now, my application is here that we're the pots in the house of the Lord. We are the house of the Lord, but we're the pots in the house of the Lord. So there's to be holiness unto the Lord through we who are the vessels of the Lord today. There's to be holiness unto the Lord. And in Leviticus chapter 19, we pick up where the Lord tells us what He thinks of holiness. In chapter 19 of Leviticus and verse 2, we find here that the Lord says unto Moses, He says, "Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, You shall be holy. For I, the Lord, your God, am holy." He doesn't ask us. I used to hear that read or read it, and I thought, well, now that's really not practical. We can do the best we can, but that's all. No, that's not what the Lord says. He didn't say, do the best you can, which He expects of us. But He said, "Be ye holy." And he said, "You shall be holy." Not do you want to, but you shall be. "For I, the Lord your God, am holy also." So He expects us to be as near like Him through Jesus as we can. And then over in Leviticus chapter 20, across the page in my book, in verse 7, it says, "Sanctify yourselves therefore, and be ye holy." So we're to sanctify ourselves and then to be holy. It says, "For I am the Lord your God, and you shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctifieth you." So He says, if we keep His statutes and His commandments and do them, then there is sanctification for us, one form of sanctification. But He says that we're to be holy because He says so. Then in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2, says, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame." There it is again. We are to be holy and without blame. In fact, it appears many times, but I haven't picked them all up. "Before Him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will." It says what?
to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us, what? Accepted in the Beloved. Then verse 7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. And Linda taught us on that this morning. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So we are to be holy without blame, and then we will find that we have redemption through the blood of Jesus. So, where do we really need to start with our conversation? Philippians chapter 1. So that's what we're going to be dealing with this afternoon, in a way. I'm not... Ephesians chapter 1. Philippians is probably good, too. No, we've read that. I'm go back to Philippians chapter 1. And we'll pick up the 27th verse. This is what we're going to talk about. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So he says that we're to have what? Let our conversation be as it becometh the gospel. And I wonder about all of our conversations. I wonder about my own. And really, if I wasn't concerned about it, this subject wouldn't be bothering me to talk about it this afternoon. So we are to be concerned with our conversation, that it becometh the gospel. What's it say? The gospel of Christ. So what we say and what it is the gospel of Christ, or it's the gospel of somebody else. Just that blunt. And we are accountable for it. Over in James chapter 3, and verse 13 says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. How's a wise man going to show that he's wise? By his conversation. And most of the time, his conversation is very little. It's not a whole lot. Generally, the person who talks a whole lot doesn't have a whole lot of wisdom. Now, that isn't always true, but in a lot of cases, I would say that it's true. So, we're to show out of good conversation with meekness our wisdom. And if we have a good conversation, we keep our mouth and our right what we say, then it'll be pleasing to the Lord. It'll not be displeasing. It'll be pleasing unto the Lord. I think we ought to shut those doors, pretty please. Okay, let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 1, which is right here by James. And at verse 18, it says, for as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your what? Vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers. And how true that is. A lot of the things that we say, we heard our fathers or our mothers say, or some of our elders somewhere, and we picked it up and we say it. And a lot of it's tradition and it's foolishness. And we've never, even things related to the Scripture, we haven't searched to see if it be researched it or searched to see if it be so. And we pick up things that we've heard, and it's actually the tradition of the elders, and there's no scriptural basis for it. Now, we're not going to talk about any of those things today, but sometimes I do talk about the traditions of the elders and the things that are traditions that we take to be a fact and apply as if they were the Word of God, because we really think they are. We really think sometimes that some of the things that we have heard and been taught are scriptural, and they're absolutely not scriptural at all. There is no scriptural basis for them. Since Belinda taught on the blood this morning, and she covered all the other aspects about the blood this morning, of the application of the blood and the applying of the blood and the covering of the blood and the washing of the blood and the sprinkling of the blood. But there's one more that's a tradition of the elders, And there's no scripture for it. And thus I plead the blood. There's no scriptural basis. And yet we hear that said all through the Pentecostal and Baptist peoples. We hear them say, I plead the blood. Yet, if they start dealing with demonic spirits, they'll find pretty soon that one of them is going to call them and say, that's not scripture. And then they'll find out. But you see, that's a tradition of the elders. Now, I know that the Lord has honored it, because I know in our own family, I've heard that ever since I can remember. My mother and father got saved in 1922, and I came up, and ever since I can remember, I've heard my mother say, I plead the blood. And I talked to her a couple of times about it, but she didn't hear a word I said. She's blind to any change. So what do you do? So you just say, Lord, bless her. That's all. But she's not dealing in the realm or all that we have come to today. She lived in a different era and a different time. And God honored their ignorance. But today, when we come to the knowledge and when we deal with setting the captives free, we've come to a time when we can't operate in that realm. We have to operate in the realm that it is written. And if it's not written, you don't have any authority. Your authority is only in it is written. So we have to understand that. And then when we find these little things here and there that are traditions of the elders or they're unscriptural, then we immediately need to not fight it, but we need to change our thought life and make our minds come to a correct understanding of the Scripture. Now, Satan will try to keep us from doing that because it's to his advantage that we stay with the tradition, because we do not have the authority that we need over demonic spirits when we don't follow exactly it is written. So we need to come as best as we can to an exact understanding of the Word and an application of the Scripture of that it is written. And we can do a lot of studying, and we find a lot of places where there are Scriptures that seem to apply one way, but if you go back and read the original or find the original in some areas, you'll find that they don't mean exactly the way the King James is written them. And in some cases, I prefer the King James, but the Amplified Bible and the Living Bible and a couple of other Bibles, the Lamb's Bible and all, I like to look the Scriptures up and look at those to see how they have translated it. Now, I don't care to use the Living Bible to teach out of. The Amplified I like, because it explains and carries out in detail a lot of things that the King James doesn't do, but just for teaching. But yet when I find something that is a little different, or I think it should be different, I take and write it in my Bible so that when I use my King James, you can go through mine and mine. It's marked up in places. Sometimes you wonder how I read it, but I understand it. But we need to be able to stand upon the Word on the solid rock, and the Word, Jesus is the solid rock, that it is written. And that's our place of authority, that's our dominion, only in it is written, through the name and the blood of Jesus. By His name and through the blood of Calvary is our authority. To set the captives free, it's the authority for salvation. It's the authority for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's the authority for healing. It's the authority for deliverances from mental problems. It's the authority for every situation. It is written, and Jesus' name and the blood that He shed at Calvary and on the way to Calvary. I believe that the whole situation of Jesus' blood going to Calvary, from the Garden of Gethsemane through the moment that He said it is finished and they pierced His side, I believe that all of that, as Linda taught us this morning, I believe that all of it has a particular application to various aspects of our life today. She taught us that the hands is our work. The blood from the nails of the hands applies to our work. I believe that. We haven't heard too much teaching on it. And I appreciate Linda teaching on that this morning. The nails in the feet applies to our walk before the Lord, the blood to cleanse us in our walk, and so forth. Seven applications of Calvary, from Gethsemane to the time Jesus said it's finished, and the piercing of his side, seven applications to our lives of the blood of the Lord Jesus, besides salvation. Salvation is one application, but there are the other applications to us for healing and restoration and deliverance and our everyday walk before the Lord. Well, anyway, that was a wonderful teaching this morning. Well, let's see. Where are we at? James chapter 1, or Peter chapter 1. Is that where we left off here? Okay. And verse 18 and 19. We didn't read that, did we? James 3 was where we... 3 and 13, I think, was our last scripture. And then I turned on over here without telling you where I went. See, 13 was, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Our thought is holiness unto the Lord, applying to our conversation. Okay, 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19 says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers. Yes, we were reading that. That's how we got on the subject of traditions. But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. So, Lord, help us to come to an understanding of the traditions of our elders and help us to change our ways when they're contrary to the word of the Lord. Not only in our book, but also just in our everyday thought life, when it is things that are not becoming unto the Lord. Psalms 37, let's look at that, at a scripture over there. Psalms 37, verse 14. It says, the wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to do what? To cast down the poor and the needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Now, can you see? Have you ever had that happen to you? Have you ever found that that was true? Someplace where you work or something, somebody is always deliberately trying to tell you something, a filthy story, or they're telling it close enough to you so that they know that you hear it, or doing something, or saying something, so that they know it will disturb you. See, that's what it says. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of an upright conversation. So if you try to keep your conversation right, they'll know it. You don't have to tell them. They'll find it out. And they'll do everything they can. Some will. Now, some will respect you. But there are always some who will do everything they can to be ornery and mean and filthy. I've worked in a lot of shops. I've worked in a lot of machine shops. I've worked in a lot of publication houses. And almost always there would be somebody in each one of those places who had the filthiest mouth and told the dirtiest stories. And they always tried to do it right by where you were working. Why? Because the spirit in them didn't like the spirit that's in you. I used to work in a machine shop in Pasadena. We were making World War II. We were making these 2-inch salvo missiles that they used to shoot off, and they set them up and they shoot 12 and 24 of them at a salvo off of the end of a landing craft onto the beach. And I worked in there, and there was one master machinist there, and now he was about the age I am now at that time. And that man, he would work and work, but every time I came near him, he would stop and start telling a dirty tale. And some of them were the filthiest things. They were just filthy. And it seemed like as soon as I was through whatever I was doing around him, well, he would be through with his story and he'd go back to work. And when I was in the Army Engineers down in the Caribbean, down in Panama City, out from Panama City, well, I slept in a bunk with, we had 24 of us in the same barracks. And I had a bunk in there. And there was, I didn't say anything. Although I did have my Bible, and I did more than that. I'd read my Bible at night, and I'd get down on my knees and pray. And I didn't. I didn't pray out loud, but I got down on my knees and prayed. And there were some of them in there that didn't say a word. But there were others that when I would start to read my Bible, they'd start doing something fondly. And they would do the same thing. They'd get around and tell the filthiest, dirty stories around me. Some of them. And then there were some of the others who would take up for me. And I never did say anything, but they started calling me little preacher. And they'd say, "You leave the little preacher alone." Well, I never said a word. I never preached nothing. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I did by what? By reading and being there. My presence was more than they could stand. But here's what happened. After 2 or 3 months, some of them began to, they'd go out and they'd get drunk. And they'd have a drunken, come back to the barracks drunk, you know, then they'd want to feel sorry for themselves. I've had one fellow woke me up one morning, about 2:30 in the morning, woke me up, and he was a mean cuss. Henry, but he'd gotten dead drunk. And he was having trouble at home. He was away from home, and he'd heard some problems at home. And he woke me up about 2:30. And he said, "I got to have help, little preacher." And there's everybody else in there. And he'd come in late, and he said, "I got to have help." I said, "What's the matter?" He said, "Got to pray." He was a Catholic boy, Catholic man. He said, "You got to pray for me." I said, "Why?" He said, "I don't want to be like I am." He said, "I want to change." He said, "Pray for me." So I did. And all the rest of the barracks woke up and listened to me praying for him. Well, that did something in that place. Not only for him, but for the others. It did two things. It made some of them so mad that they were determined they were going to get me. And here's what they did. About 3 or 4 of them, we used to all go to town at night or on the weekend. We'd go into town. And we all went together. We rode a bus, a government bus into Panama City. So we were all going to town this night. And they had made up their mind that when we got into town, they were going to make me get off the bus with them in the red light district. And they were going to take me down to one of the houses in the red light district in Panama called Hollywood. The red light district in Panama City is called Hollywood. And they were going to take me down there. And I didn't know anything about this. But we got into town and got off the bus. And when we did, one great big old guy, and he was a big old guy, stepped up beside me. And he said, "The first man that touches little preacher's got to get me first." And I didn't know what he's talking about. And then they finally told me what the others told me what was determined to happen. But see how the Lord protected me? The Lord looked after me and protected me when in that situation. Because if he hadn't stood up to me, there wouldn't be anything I could have done except the Lord. So the Lord looked after me. And he'll protect you, and he'll look after you if you stand faithful. That don't mean you're not going to be tormented. That don't mean you're not going to have persecution, see? But you're to be faithful. And my conversation in their place around them was unto the Lord. I didn't preach to them. I didn't, unless they asked me something, I told them. But I didn't make myself obnoxious to anybody. But the Spirit of the Lord worked on their hearts, and they knew. Well, later on, all these fellows came to me and apologized and said they were sorry for what they had planned to do, and they would that I didn't have to worry. They would never try to do anything like that again. So our conversation needs to be righteousness unto the Lord, holiness unto the Lord. Well, let's look over in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 26. What does it say here in verse 2? It says, "Open ye gates, that the righteous nation or people, which keepeth the truth, may enter in." Now that word nation there can also be interpreted people. And today I'm using it as people. That the righteous people, which keepeth the truth, may enter in. And today, we and others likewise are those who are the righteous people who are trying to our best ability and understanding to keep the truth of the Lord. It says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Now, I just happened to mention a couple of times, but I've been in a lot of situations where you have to trust your mind has to be at peace in the situation, or you're really in trouble. In fact, even last night up here, some of you don't even know it, but I rolled the truck. I didn't turn it over, but I rolled it off head on. Did you see a truck sitting up there? Well, that belongs to the campground. I did that last night about 5:30. It just went this way, and then before it straightened out, and then instead of going straight, it went like that, right over in the ditch. All I could do was just, I was going about 20 miles an hour, and I couldn't do nothing except just say, Jesus. And it just turned over and rolled, settled over in the ditch. And just as it happened, somebody come down the hill and stopped. And I said, well, I'll ride with you. And they said, okay, get in. And I got out up here and walked down here, and that was it. So we'll have to get it out when the street road de-ices a little bit. But I've been in a couple in a lot of other places where it was more serious than that. I was on an airplane one time. I always take authority over every airplane that I ride on. I've made it a habit to do that, and I don't stop the habit. The Lord says that we're priests unto Him, and as priests we have a place of authority that I believe that we can take, and I believe the Lord honors that. And so when I sit down on a plane, I take dominion over it in the name of Jesus. And I believe that as long as I'm on that airplane, nothing's going to happen to it. So I don't have any fear of the airplane or whatever. I was down in the coast of Colombia, between Panama and Colombia, back during World War II. And I had finished my job. I was down in the Darien country where the headhunter Indians are. And you could buy a human head when I was down there for, $10, $15. But it had to be silver. They wouldn't take paper. You had to pay them in silver dollars. And you could buy a human head from the Darien Indians up the Darien River. Well, anyway, coming out of there, this was what they called an AWS station, an air warning station, where they watched for any subversive airplanes or submarine out at sea or something that would come in to try to get to the canal zone. And plane came down I went down on a plane. And I don't know if it's the same plane or not, on a DC-3. And I went down to this place. They had a little tiny airstrip where I could just barely get in and get out. And they were hauled and brought all the supplies down, mostly by plane. And I'd gone down there on a plane, and there was one other person on the plane with me. And when we got off the plane, I had thrown all my gear in a Jeep truck. And when I did, I had my Bible, which was in a case. I laid it on top of, I had a chest like a carpenter's toolbox. I had one of those, and I had a steel, I had a whole bunch of stuff. And I had stuck my Bible in the top, underneath the carrying arm of this toolbox. When the Jeep got over to the office, and I started unloading my stuff, my Bible was gone. And there was only one other person besides the guy driving the Jeep. And that was the man that was on the plane, and I wondered about him, because he had a suit on, and all riding on the plane with a suit. And that just wasn't kosher, you know, down in the jungle. And so I immediately went into the office, and I said to the commanding officer there, I said, hey, who took my Bible? And this guy was standing in there. And I said, I was out here when it pulled up, and the driver says he never saw it. I said, nobody else has been near that but this man here. I said, what'd you do with my Bible? And I said, why'd you take it? He said, I never saw it. Well, he lied to me, because 2 weeks later, when I got back to base, my Bible turned up. And I found out that he took it. He was a G2. But I knew that he was strange, because he shouldn't have been dressed like he was. He should have been in fatigues and so forth, and you wouldn't have thought anything about him. Huh? It was intelligence. Yeah. Anyway, my Bible come back. But they were looking through it to be sure I didn't have some kind of code in there that I was using it for, because that was a common practice during World War I and into World War II. But anyway, that's not my story. I'm talking about coming back from there on an airplane and fear, and not to have fear in the situations that we get into, and to have and to keep our conversation aright. So when I got through down there, the next boat back from down there was going to be about 10 days, and I didn't want to stay down in that country for 10 days. And a supply plane came back in one day, and they unloaded all the food and supplies and stuff in the mail, and they got ready to leave. And I said, "Hey, where are you going?" And they said, "Back to Panama City." And I said, "Well, you got a passenger. I'm going with you." Now, these planes didn't have any seats in them. They were DC-3s with all the seats taken. Ordinarily, they carry about 25 or 30 people, seats in them. But the seats are all out because they're using them to haul supplies with. So the same way when we came down, there wasn't any seats. So I went over and told the commanding officer there. I said, "Hey, I'm going back on this plane out here. I'm not going to stay down here waiting for a boat to come in." So I threw my gear and everything on the plane, and we took off. And when we took off, it was nice and sunshiny, clear weather, just like we got out here today. By the time we got about halfway back to Panama City, we run into a squall. And the squall become a typhoon. And we couldn't get over it, and we couldn't get under it. And I don't know why they never thought about going back. Maybe they didn't have enough gas to go back and then fly again. So we went as high as he could climb and to go through the thing. Well, now, when we got started getting up in there and into that thing, the plane began to go to do this. It just suddenly go like that, and then it go the other way. And it'd fall 2,000 or 3,000 feet just in a couple of few seconds, and then it'd hit the bottom, and then all of a sudden, it'd go the other way, just back up again. And my tools and the things in there were literally floating, because we hadn't tied them down. They were literally floating in the plane. First, they were again the ceiling. When we were going down, they was again the ceiling. When she hit the bottom, they'd come down and hit, and when she'd start back up, of course, they'd stay on the bottom. But when she'd come down, they'd go, and I had to watch to stay out of the way of all that stuff in there so I didn't get hit with it. Of course, the pilot and the co-pilot, they were strapped in the seats up in front. And there was a place for fear. There was a place for fear. Yeah. But I can honestly say I didn't fear, but I prayed. I'll tell you, I prayed. That I did. And we got through it okay. Now, some more to that story, I might as well finish it. The two boys on that were piloting that plane, the pilot and the co-pilot, never did get back to Panama base. Because when we came in, the storm was still, and we landed over the Navy base, over across the canal. And when we pulled up by the hangar, why, there was a truck there from my base. And I told the guys, I said, "If this truck's going back home," I said, "I'm going with it." And I found the guy that was driving it. He said he was going back, so I loaded everything on his truck and went with him. And those two fellows evidently went into the officer's canteen and got drunk. No other explanation. Because when they took off, there was a small hill right at the end of the runway, and you had to either go right or left, and they flew straight into that little hill. Killed them both. But see, the Lord took care of me. I could have stayed there and ridden that plane back over across the canal and gotten on the shuttle run over there back to the base. But the Lord had this truck sitting there, and I loaded on it, or I'd have been on that plane too. So the Lord will take care of you if you put your trust in Him. And sometimes that's hard to do. Sometimes it's hard to put your trust in the Lord. But Lord, help us to be able to say, "My faith is in Thee. My faith is in Thee." There are circumstances and situations that we all get into where we're tried sometimes beyond what we're able seemingly to bear. The Lord says that if we're faithful, He'll be faithful to us too. Well, that's not about conversation, but it's about trusting and not being taken with a spirit of fear, because that situation, there was both situations there. And I had to conquer it, and the Lord helped me. And He'll help every one of us if we learn to to trust in Him. Circumstances of life are not that which we choose, because Satan tried to destroy us in every way. And we have to learn and discern that which is of God and that which is of man and that which is of Satan, and sort them out, and then take our stand and declare that in Jesus I stand, and Satan, you're not going to have your hand in me. And I thank you, Lord, to help us to be able to understand and to apply and appropriate that to our lives daily. And that is a situation that every one of us confront and are confronted with daily in many different aspects and many different ways. Okay, well, so in Isaiah chapter 26, it says that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth will enter in. Lord, help us to be some of those righteous people that keep the truth, that we'll enter in, and that our trust is in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Our strength is in the Lord. So Lord, help us to be faithful in our trust in you. Psalms 139, there is a scripture there. Psalms 139, verse 19 says, surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain, blaspheming. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee, and am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. Now that there's nothing wrong in hating with a perfect hatred. That is not against somebody, but against what they're doing. It says, I hate them with perfect hatred, and I count them mine enemy. And he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Now, that's what we're talking about. Knowing our thoughts. That which our mind, what we say, and what we think. And see, Lord, if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And that's the cry of my heart, that my thought life shall be such that it is pleasing unto the Lord. Please turn the tape over for side two. Thank you. And that's the cry of my heart, that my thought life shall be such that it is pleasing unto the Lord. We're going to pray about that before we conclude here today. We're going to pray about our thought life and our mind and the torments, the things that trouble us in our minds. Some things we can control, some things we can't control without the help of the Lord and without deliverance and without restoration. But we want the Lord to lead us in His way everlasting, that our thought life shall be pleasing in His sight and unto Him. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3. But fornication, and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this we know, that no warmonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is idolater, have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes in darkness, but now ye are in light, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So, sometime we may have been partakers of these things, but it's time that we got our mind washed and cleansed of them. Now, notice up here in this verse 4, it says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather to the giving of thanks. You know, there's a lot of jesting in the body of Christ that is really filthiness. It is really an abomination to God. And we need to watch that we are not partakers of this. And you can just, you don't have to be around too long somewhere until somebody will make some kind of a jesting remark that can be taken more than one way. And that is an abomination to God. And we need to watch that. We need not to be partakers of it. And we need to ask the Lord to help us to be cleansed from these things so that we can walk before Him in the holiness. I'm sure that Jesus wouldn't say some of that or imply that or use that. And it says, "Be ye holy as I am holy." It says, "Be ye without spot and wrinkle." So if that's what's required, then it's required that we watch these type of things. Okay. Ephesians chapter 4, over across the page here, there, verse 17 says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as the heathen walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." Now you notice that it says that in the vanity of their mind, and it says that they're alienated from God through, even though they're ignorant of it, they're alienated from God. Why? It's because of the blindness of their heart or their mind. The word heart can be transplaced with the word mind here. "Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness." They do it with rejoicing. "But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust." Now we're back there to that conversation that is not pleasing unto the Lord. That is, and it's deceitful. We are deceived ourselves by it sometimes. "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." We want our minds to be renewed. We want them to be cleansed. We want them to be renewed in the Lord Jesus. It says, "And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away the lie, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye not angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, and neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing that is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." Set a guard at your mouth. Guard your mouth with a guard. "But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." And then chapter 5 says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Rosalie, we can visit when the service is over. I'll sit up and be straight. 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. And this we have heard many times, taught on, spoke on, read yourself. It says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, and be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." So we are to gird up our minds and be sober. As obedient children. Now, I don't believe that being sober means that you got a long, straight face. I believe that Jesus enjoyed life. I believe that Jesus was joyful and happy, and that he was a person of joy. I don't believe that he had a long, sober face. But I believe that this here applies to how our conversation is in a right way, and that we can be enjoy life and we can have a good time and yet have be sober in what we do, so that it's pleasing unto the Lord. It says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of what? Conversation. So our conversation is to always be such that it would be holiness unto the Lord. Why? Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And that same phrase, that same verse we read to begin with, you find it in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 2. Peter picks it up and brings it over here and incorporates it into his writing here, the same verse that was used in Leviticus. It says, and he said, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And the Lord is requiring that of all of us today, that we, to the best of our ability, that we be holy in all that we do, both in deed and in conversation. But we are dealing with our mind and our conversation this afternoon. Let's turn back a few pages to Hebrews chapter 12. And the 12th chapter of Hebrews is an exhortation to faith and godliness. Verse 12 of Hebrews says, wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees. It says you're to do it. It said, I'm to lift up my hands that hang down. I'm not to let them hang down. I'm not to become sorrowful and long-faced. I'm to lift my hands up and to rejoice. And my feeble knees that don't want to stand up, I'm to tell them to stand up, come to attention, and rejoice in the Lord. And it says, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. Let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see God. So we are required to walk after the Lord in holiness if we expect to see the Lord. It says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up to trouble you, and thereby you may be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Now, verse 14 here says that we're to follow after peace with all men in holiness if we expect to see the Lord. We're to do it unto the Lord. And then verse 16 says, you're not to be as Esau. What does he say that about Esau? What'd he do? He sold his birthright. I'm wondering, are any of us selling our birthright? Are we selling our birthright for some pleasure or something that we want to do or something that we're trying to accomplish on our own? Are we selling our birthright for something that is of little value? I question. You need to question. I need to question. Am I selling my birthright for something that I'm trying to accomplish? Or something, some goal that I've set, or some ambition that I have? Am I selling my birthright for it? Are you selling your birthright? Your birthright is more important than any ambition, any goal, unless it's of the Lord. Esau came bitterly, it says in the scripture, that he came bitterly, crying, repenting, asking for his birthright back. But it was too late. It couldn't be returned to him. He had sold it. Fair and square, he had sold it. Are you selling yours? Am I selling mine? Consider all that you work for, all that you try, all that you are accomplishing. I wonder how many times I've sold my birthright and then I've had to work hard to try and get it back, to return it. Maybe I haven't ever gotten it back to a full extent. Consider it. Don't be foolish as Esau and sell your birthright for a pot of porridge that you have today and it's gone tomorrow. And then you can never be returned again. I tell you, God's got something for us that's beyond anything that we can comprehend if we'll be faithful unto Him. Lord, help me, help every one of us to find that place and then to be faithful in that place. not only to be faithful, but then to be satisfied. See, there's another thing. Don't be a dissatisfied... What? There's some kind of a little phrase about being dissatisfied. I can't think of it at the moment. But don't be dissatisfied with the calling of God in your life. Rejoice with it. Oh, it may not be fulfilled today or tomorrow or next week or next year, but that doesn't mean that you're not to look forward. Always looking for that place that God's laid, the burden that He's laid on your heart. Always looking forward to it. That's your goal to accomplish in the Lord. That goal that you feel that God's placed within you. But you don't maybe run off today and try to fulfill it, because if you did, you might have shipwreck. But you don't lose sight of the vision that God puts within you. And you strive to come to the understanding and the fullness of it, that your life may be an example before men that Jesus lives, because He lives in your life and in mine, and that we are examples before men of the Lord Jesus. We're read of all men, whether we want to be or not. We're read. And how our conversation and our actions go and do tells what kind of a person they'll think we are. And it will also tell what they think of Jesus. You see, we're the only light. We're the only voice. We're the only steps. We're the only hand. We're the only voice of Jesus. That's an awesome thought. That's awesome. That we're the hands, the feet, the voice of Jesus. But we are at this present time. And it's a responsibility that rests on every one of us. We need, to the best of our ability, accomplish and fulfill that in our lives. And one of the first places to start is with a clean conversation unto the Lord. Holiness unto the Lord. Well, praise you, Jesus. Well, Revelations. Patty says when I turn to Revelation, she knows I'm coming to the to the end. Revelations chapter 22, which is the end. Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Genesis 1:1, Revelations 22:21. Revelations chapter verse 11. 22 and 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. But he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And one day we're going to come to the place when that statement's going to take place. And those that are filthy, they'll just still be filthy. There'll be no more chance of change. Those that are unrighteous, their unrighteousness will stay with them. Well, you come to that place when you come to the grave. However you go, that's the way it is. But you'll also come to that place again when the Lord comes and the kingdom is set up. And Jesus comes to rule and reign, and He comes to judge the earth. Come to that place. But I want to be found to be one of the righteous. And He says, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. So it implies here that there's not only a place of righteousness, but there is a place of holiness beyond the place of righteousness. And it says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. It says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And then he says, what does he say? Blessed are they that do His commandments. What's the rest of it? That they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. The tree of life. Go back, find some of that in the Beatitudes. Back in Matthew 19, we find it again. But the righteous and the holy will have a right to the tree of life. And I want to be one who's made up my mind to follow Jesus. I've made up my mind. There's a course we sing. I've made up my mind to follow Jesus. And I've made up my mind to follow Jesus. I may not, and probably won't, and haven't always done everything right. But I want, to the best of my ability, I've made up my mind to follow Jesus and to be that which He wants me to be. And not to have some other idol or some other god before me. You see, you can have you can have another god before you just by association with a job can be a god to you. Something that you have that you think more of than serving the Lord. your a business or a family. Or there's all kinds of things that can be another God to you. Well, I don't want to have another God. I want the Lord Jesus Christ to be Lord of my life in every area and in every point. Now, today in Linda's 7 points that she brought, there was point number 2 that she taught us concerning the blood of Jesus. And point number 2 was the crown of thorns and the cleansing of the blood from the crown of thorns that was placed on the head of Jesus for the cleansing of the mind. And today we need to apply and appropriate the blood of the crown of thorns that was placed on Jesus' head for the cleansing of our mind, that we can come before the Lord and in holiness and righteousness and be unto the Lord that which He would have us to be, and fulfill that place that we are called unto in the Lord, and to be that which we are in the Lord. So we're going to pray about our mind. We're going to apply the blood that was appropriated at Calvary by the crown of thorns for the cleansing and washing of our mind. Well, we're going to take a little rest here for a second, and you come and sing for me the chorus that we were singing that you had up here. And then we'll come back and pray over this teaching that we've taught this afternoon. And this little chorus says, "Do you know who you are?" And if we know who we are, then we'll strive to be holy before the Lord. We'll strive to walk before the Lord in holiness. Who are we? We're the called ones. We're the elect if we follow on to know. We've come to the manifestation of the sons of God. Some people don't like to hear that phrase, but it's still a truth. And my desire is to come to that place. I want to come to that place where I'll be worthy to be called a son of God. The scripture tells us that we're children and we're adolescents and we're sons. But there are multitudes who have never come past the child stage. There are multitudes who have never come past the adolescent stage. But God's calling us all to grow, to become sons. And that's my desire, to become a son. Do you know who you are? We are called to be the elect. We are called to be a manifestation of Jesus. We are called to be His hands and His feet. We're called to be His voice today in the earth. That's who we are. Lord, help us to live and act like it, not only for the Lord, but for those about us. Well, we have been studying and about what we say. What we say comes from the mind, from our thought life. So we're going to pray about our mind and about the problems of our mind this afternoon. Amen. Father, I come and stand here now as a priest over this place this afternoon. And I bring these Thy people, Lord, and all who shall ever hear this tape. I bring them in remembrance before You. And I ask for the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus, Lord, to set the captives free. For You, Jesus, You said in Your name, You give us authority to bind up Satan and to set the captives free. Father, this afternoon in the area of our minds, I come and I ask for the blood of Jesus to cleanse and to wash our minds, Lord, of the filthiness and the jesting and that which is unseemly, Father, and the blasphemy and that which is contrary to holiness unto Thee. Father, cleanse us and wash us and show us the areas of our life and of our minds and our thought life that are not pleasing, Lord. Help us to change and to repent and ask for forgiveness and cleansing through the blood that was shed at Calvary, but by the crown of thorns that was placed upon Your head, Jesus, for the cleansing and washing of our minds and the setting free of the problems of our minds. Father, this afternoon I thank You for the blood of Jesus to cleanse and to wash us and to loose us. And Lord, and that the Holy Spirit will show us these areas in our life that we need to ask forgiveness of and to change and to be different, Lord, just to be different, to make ourselves be different, that I shall do, and that these that are listening shall also determine to do likewise. I thank You for it, Father, and I praise You for it in Jesus' name. Father, I take authority in the name of Jesus over every evil spirit, over every spirit of the mind. I bind it in Jesus' name and ask for the angel of the Lord to come and minister with us here now. And I break the powers of the spirits of that control the mind. Ask for the angel of the Lord to come and bind up these spirits and take them till you shall judge them, Jesus, at the day of judgment. Father, I come against the spirit of blasphemy. I bind the spirit of blasphemy that races in some people's minds and torments them. The spirit of a tormenting, blasphemous mind and phrases that come through their mind. I bind and break the dominion of it over their minds in Jesus' name. Spirit of blasphemy, I bind you and break your dominion. I put the blood to cleanse and to wash the mind of this in Jesus' name. Spirit of pornography, I bind the foul spirit of pornography. I break and curse the curse of it over the mind in Jesus' name. Put the blood to cleanse and to wash in Jesus' name. If it's an inherited thing, Father, in any of these areas, I go back and break the curse of the inheritance, the ancestral heritage, Lord, that you say in your word that comes down to the third, the fourth, and the tenth generation. I break the curse of it because Jesus became a curse at Calvary, so we don't have to bear the curse. And I thank you for it, Jesus, and I praise you for it. Spirit of jesting. I bind the spirit of jesting, and I break the curse of it over us in Jesus' name. Saying things with double meanings, and I break the curse of it off of us, and I loose us. Forgive us of it, Lord. Cleanse us of it in Jesus' name, and I loose us from it in the name of the Lord. Filthy talk. I break the curse of filthy talk, and that we've heard that returns to us in us from a subconscious mind that we've heard that just from no place just jumps up and we think it or hear it. I put the blood to cleanse and wash that out of our subconscious mind in the name of the Lord. I break the curse of it over us in Jesus' name, and I loose our subconscious mind from these things in the name of Jesus. Shaded stories and filthy stories. I break that curse and also the remembrance of it. I put the blood to cleanse us of the remembrance of these things and to wash it out of our mind in Jesus' name. Spirit of lying. Spirit of lying in our mind. It comes from the mind. I bind the spirit of lying. I break the curse of it over us in Jesus' name, the inherited curse of it. I break it over the shading the truth, not exactly telling the truth. I break the curse of it in Jesus' name, the lying and shading of the truth. I break the curse of it in the name of Jesus, and I put the blood of Jesus to cleanse and wash us of it in the name of the Lord Jesus. A racing mind, a mind that can't shut off and completely rest. I come against the spirit of a racing mind. I break the curse of it over our minds in the name of the Lord Jesus. A spirit of a racing mind, torment in the night, tormented in the night season. I bind that spirit of being tormented in the night, and I break the curse of it in Jesus' name over those who are tormented in the night season with fear and with bad dreams and with thoughts that come through their mind that shouldn't be there at all. I put the blood of Jesus to wash that out of the mind and from the subconscious, and I break the curse of fear of the night and the torment of these dreams and things that come to them in the night season. I break the curse of it and I loose them from it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now I come against problems with the mental in the mind. Mental problems in the mind. I come against that in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I bind every mental problem of the mind that Satan would use against our minds to cause a spirit of forgetfulness in the mind. I come against a spirit of forgetfulness. I break that curse over myself and over all of us. You spirit of forgetfulness, I rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. I break your dominion over us in the name of Jesus. I speak restoration to our minds that we shall remember that which is necessary and remember the things of the Lord. And you foul spirit that brings remembrance to our minds, things that we don't need to remember, I break that. I bind you and command you to loose us in Jesus' name. Now I come against all the spirits that are involved in all these areas of our mind, and I command them to come out of us in Jesus' name. Come out of our mind. Loose us and set us free. I break the dominion of it. You spirits of torment, come out of us and set us free in Jesus' name. Loose us in the name of the Lord. I thank you, Father. I praise you for it. Father, I thank you for it. The spirit of insanity, I bind and break every foul spirit of insanity. I break the curse of it from inherited ancestral line. Those of that have had problems in our ancestral line, I break that curse of insanity over our minds. I loose us from it in the name of the Lord. I loose us from insanity. You foul spirit of insanity, Alzheimer's disease, I break that curse in Jesus' name of the mind. You spirit of Alzheimer's over the mind, I break that curse in Jesus' name. I loose us from it. I loose us from it. Anyone who hears this tape, I speak to them as well. And I speak restoration to them. And I bind every foul spirit and every demon power that would control their minds. And I break the curses and I loose them from it. Come out of them in Jesus' name. Come out in the name of the Lord. Come out in Jesus' name, you foul spirits. Come out. I break your dominion over these people, and I loose us from your power in the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ is Lord. To Him be glory and honor. His blood cleanses and washes from sin. His blood brings restoration, and the authority of His name brings restoration and dominion in the name of Jesus. So, Father, I thank you for that place of authority and dominion that you've given us today, and I praise you for it. I thank you for the blood, the blood that cleanses, the blood that washes, the blood of Calvary. I praise you for it, Father, and I thank you for it. Father, I thank you that there's restoration in the name of Jesus and deliverance in the authority of the name of Jesus. I praise you for it. Rebellion, I come against rebellion in the mind. Rebellion against authority. Rebellion against God. Rebellion against those that have authority over us. I break that curse of rebellion. I come against the spirit of rebellion. I break the curse in our minds of rebellion against authority. And I loose us from it. You spirit of rebellion, come out in the name of the Lord. Come out. Rebellion against authority. Rebellion against the things of the Lord. Rebellion in any form. I break the curse of it in the name of Jesus. Come out in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Father. Praise you for it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise be the name of the Lord. Praise be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, now I thank you for your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to fill every area of every vessel, Lord, that in any way that's been vacated by any area, in any area, by demonic powers or satanic control. I thank you for the Spirit of the Lord to take possession in these areas. We shall now be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And that the blood of Jesus and that the Holy Ghost shall infill us in every area, Father. We shall be infilled by the Holy Spirit. Father, we receive the Holy Spirit. We receive the Holy Spirit in all these areas. There'll be no place that's swept and clean for any foul spirit to return to. Father, I thank you for it and I praise you for it. I thank you for your blood that cleanses and washes us as we come and call on the name of the Lord. Father, I thank you for Calvary and for Jesus. Father, help us to be a people that are holy and righteous, desiring to walk before you in righteousness and holiness. That Jesus Christ is Lord of our lives. How and why? Because we determined to make Him so. And I thank you for it, Father, for giving us that determination in our hearts and our lives to walk before you in righteousness and holiness in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. Well, it's still a while before they got supper ready, I imagine. Oh, supper is ready. Okay. Supper's ready. We'll eat supper and then have a little rest if some of you want and come back here by it. No later than 7 o'clock, a few minutes before, for tonight's service. Amen. Okay. Supper's ready. Lord, bless it. Make it health to us. We praise you for it. Amen.
I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His doors with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. Praise the Lord. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. I'll sing it again. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. And He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. Know ye not? Know ye not, ye are the temple. Know ye not, know ye not, ye are the temple. Know ye not, know ye not, ye are the temple. Ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Filled with praise, filled with power, filled with glory. Filled with praise, filled with power, filled with glory. Full of praise, full of power, full of glory. Ye are the temple of the Holy. Oh, praise the Lord. Sing and dance, ye are the temple. Sing and dance, sing and dance, ye are the temple. Yes, I am. I am the temple.
Hallelujah.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I am the temple. Yes, amen. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I am the temple. I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. Alive, alive, alive forevermore. Why, Jesus is alive, alive forevermore. Alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. My Jesus is alive forevermore. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. My Jesus is alive. Forevermore. Oh, yeah, Jesus is alive, alive forevermore. Well, He's alive, alive, alive forevermore. Jesus is alive. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. My Jesus is alive forevermore. Sing hallelujah. Hallelujah, my Jesus is alive.
One more time,
He's alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive, He's alive forevermore. Yes, He's alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah,
my
Jesus is alive forevermore. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, my Jesus is alive.
Hallelujah, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, glory to your name.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.